Hello everybody, it's me Roscoe and welcome to another edition of the Kings of Anglia podcast special series where I catch up with former Town players on their career at the club and what they're up to now. And up next I'm joined by a special guest, it's former Town defender Troy Brown. Troy, thanks so much for joining me. How's things?
Thanks for having me. Things are good. Things are good despite the British summer. Things are good.
Yeah, in Suffolk right now. I think you're in London in your offices.
I'm in London at the minute, based in Hertfordshire. The weather's been pretty poor recently, so we'll hope for brighter days.
Hopefully, yeah. I woke up in sunny Suffolk, and it's not sunny because it's raining. So it is what it is. But we're indoors. We're going to have a nice little chin wag, my friend, to talk about your career. I always like to start my chats with asking my guests how they sort of got into football, the early days, their earliest memories. So when can you remember when you kicked the ball for the first time?
I remember kicking the ball with my dad in the park and stuff like that. And then we went to a localish, kids football thing. A guy called Buster used to run it, a place in Chipstead. I moved to Wales for a bit and then came back. And then I literally played one Sunday league game for a team called Purley Panthers, which was in the Tangridge League. It's quite a notorious Sunday league down in the south on Surrey. I think we won 7-2, scored 5 goals and got scouted for Fulham and the rest was history. I used to be a striker, so like everyone. The rest was history. And then I remember being handed a Fulham card with the old crest on it. That's how long it was. And I remember saying to my dad, no, I want to go to Arsenal, not Fulham, which is a typical young kid's thing.
Was
to
that
say.
Your team? Was that your team support?
Arsenal's my team, yeah. And then I think I carried on playing, for Sunday League and Fulham because back in the day, they didn't have pre-academy. No. So I was 7 playing with the under-9s. I think at the end of my first full season, it's kind of like a hybrid thing. I was doing Fulham and Purley Panthers Sunday League. I ended up going to Fulham at under-8s, playing with the under-9s and was there for 10 years.
Yeah, and as you said, you scored 5 goals in that one game up front. When did you sort of get moved back? Or, obviously it's not your decision at the time. It's sort of like, we think you're better there. And obviously, like everybody, you play everywhere in, your early days.
No, yeah, I was... silly moment of mine. So we played Arsenal away and nobody beat Arsenal back in the day. It was under 13s and our centre-back had missed the train, so therefore had missed kickoff. So the coach has gone on, who fancies playing centre-back today? I put my hand up. We won 2-0 and I never played striker again. So as an under 13, I transitioned from a striker to a centre-back.
And obviously, like any young player, you get the news that you're going to get released. I'm sure that's not good memories to look back on, but what can you remember that day?
Yeah, I remember it fairly well. I'd kind of had an inkling that it was coming. I missed quite a bit of football in my first year. I had an injury called osteopubis, which was quite common at the club at the time. It's a bit weird. And I remember we used to have an injection with a needle about that long, in a painful area, but I managed to get back playing and, I was always like playing. So it was a difficult time not to be playing. And then halfway through my second year, we actually signed Chris Smalling from Maidstone, who was a year above me as a centre-back. So you kind of half think, oh, I could be in trouble here. So I got told right the last minute, got called into the office and they'd said, look, we love you, been here for so long, been a great servant, you'll have a career in the game. We just can't offer you a pro contract, but we could offer you a third-year scholar, if that's what you'd like. And I'd said, no, to be fair, you've said all these nice things, so I'm going to go out and see what's out there for me. And I think that was on the Thursday. And then the following Tuesday, there was something called the exit trials, which was a week at Warwick University at the time, where you go there, train for the week and play. That's what happened. So I got the news. I remember driving home and it was one of those journeys where you just end up getting there, but not remembering how you got there. Yeah. And then by 8 o'clock that night, I was good as gold. And then went to the exit trials on the Tuesday, and then ended up at Ipswich via Charlton.
Yeah, I did see that. I did read that as Charlton, then obviously us. How did that sort of come about? You know, obviously it's not too far away from London, you know, up the A12 and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, how did that come about?
Yeah, so you do the exit trials, and back then you'd wait for a letter in the post. It's like a university application, whether you get in or not. So I had a list of clubs and some universities in America, but I wanted to obviously stay in professional football. And Charlton was the first one that stuck out to me, South London, down the road. Played them all the time, know the players, know the coaches. So I ended up going to Charlton. And after a week, they wanted to sign me. I think it was 3 weeks left of the season. They wanted to sign me, but they'd just been relegated from the Championship to League One. So they said, we're going to sign you. We just can't offer you anything at the minute because we don't know what the budget is. So that's not really helping me. And on the same day, Steve McCall phoned me from Ipswich and said, mate, we've heard you're in at Charlton. What are you doing? Do you not understand the size of Ipswich? And in all honesty, I probably didn't at that stage. All I'd seen is Charlton down the road. I've been to their ground many a time. Actually, one of my first stadium games was at the Valley as a kid. So I saw the size of it, but obviously didn't realise how big Ipswich was. So he said, get down here. Can you get down here next week? Fortunately for me and him, I've actually got an auntie and two cousins who moved from Wales to Ipswich. So I had somewhere to stay, familiar face, wasn't an issue. So I called them up. I ended up coming the following week. And we played Southend in a reserve game. I think it was the Friday. And then I got the call to say, yeah, we want to sign your contract on the Wednesday. But then Jim McGilton got sacked.
He did, yeah.
I remember being sat in my auntie's front room, and along the bottom in yellow was Jim McGilton sat from Ipswich Town. So I'm thinking, right, what happens now? But then Roy Keane came in fairly quickly afterwards. So in fairness to him, he'd actually said, no, I'll honour it, but I need to see you play. I need to see you've got two arms, two legs. So the following week, we played Leighton Orient away, and we won 5-0. And the rest is history. He honoured the contract, he signed me, and the rest is history.
That's a big thing, though, for a player, though. You've had one manager, and he gets sacked. Did you have much conversation with Jim? Like, obviously, Jim...
No, I'm not really. I trained with the first team a couple of times. I remember Campo, Giovanni De Santos. I remember that being a bit like, oh, type thing. But, you know, I don't know whether there was rumblings prior. I'm a young kid coming from London on trial looking to get a professional contract. I don't really pay much attention to that. I knew a few of the lads from playing against them. We only seem to play Ipswich once a year maximum, but you kind of remember faces. And yeah, I just kind of kept myself to myself, went back to my auntie's house and ate, slept and drank football, really.
I'm actually... randomly, I don't know how I found this, but I found it. It's a great website. And it's that trial game you played in. It was 7-3. I've seen the score.
The Orient one?
No, it's Southend game. Yeah.
I think Orient was definitely 5-0.
It was 5-0,
coming off the pitch thinking, that's perfect. Clean sheet, 5-0 win. The gaffer, I remember Keane was up on the gantry right at the top, and I could not miss him. Him and Tony Loughlin were sat up there watching it. And yeah.
Yeah, but I'm just like 7-3. It was mad. Just that was one game you played, and then obviously the Leighton Orient game. I think you played against Peterborough as well. It shows here. It was the 3-3 game as well. So yeah, those games. But obviously Roy Keane, that was a big media circus when he got appointed. Obviously you were just sort of under the radar, you know, just signing as a trialist and stuff like that. Can you remember your first conversations with Roy in terms of getting that contract?
I can remember my first conversation. It was kind of in passing type thing. It was, I was, fortunately for me, I was always very confident in terms of, or quite mature for my age. So I was very much chest up, despite my posture now, but chest up, how you doing, gaffer, type thing, eye contact. So it was in passing down the corridor, and he'd ask questions about whether I'd settled in and stuff like that, which was good. And that was the first conversation, really. And then as time goes on, you start training with the first team and being involved in match day squads. You kind of get a little bit closer, but never too close. But it was cool.
And you mentioned earlier about some familiar faces. Who sort of helped you settle? Obviously, there's some big characters in that squad.
Yeah, so it was one of the younger lads, Ed Upson. So Ed was a Bury St Edmunds boy, and I had a flat and I had a spare room. So he ended up pitching in with me for a bit, which was good. When I first came on trial, I remember Jay Reason, who was the same age as Ed. He was a familiar face. We had some good battles over the years, so he was good as gold. And then you had your Luke Hyams. It's out of the younger lads. But at the senior boys, Jamie Peters, still speak to him now. You had Ben Thatcher, still speak to him now. They were all good. Gareth McCauley, really good with me. John Walters, really good with me. Chuck Norris, really good with me. They were all really good. Lee Martin, I'm still close with now. We share a lot of mutual friends, being from similar areas. I don't want to miss anyone out because it's rude, but all really good with me. All really good.
Yeah, obviously that was, you know, a lot of those players were Jim Magilton signings. Obviously, Roy came in and made his few signings. Obviously, a lot of time we had some, you know, big centre halves as well at that point. You know, Alex Bruce, Damien Delaney, Gareth McCauley, as you mentioned. So you knew you got a hard, you know, trying to get them out of the team.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I made my break through Ipswich at right back. In all honesty, there was probably a shortage of a natural right back at the time, from what I remember. I ended up playing right back, which ironically was something I hated doing, coming through the ranks. I just couldn't really seem to adjust to it, but I kind of adjusted it okay, I suppose, breaking through. But yeah, it was interesting playing right back in my first game, or league game. But no, they were good. Gareth McCauley, I saw him the other day at the game. He's obviously doing stuff with Northern Ireland now. Same as before. He really helped me with my game, like talking to me and stuff like that. He was top draw.
And obviously, yeah, Roy Keane did really well at Sunderland. Came, this is his first full season. I think we didn't win for at least 11, something crazy amount of games. Obviously, did get a win. At this point, you're more of an unused sub playing reserve football. But, you know, can you remember for those days where you were sort of, you know, I'm sure you're training with the first team squad, and what was the mood like back then?
Yeah, I mean, it was, for me, it's new to me. It's fresh. This man signed me. I like you. That's how it was for me. And to be honest with you, I loved him. He was great for me. I played better under pressure. I played better treading on eggshells. And I was probably his type of player in terms of, you know, I wasn't a flair player or anything like that. I was quite limited in my ability. I was a good athlete. I was 100%er. That's what I'd call myself. I'd give everything, throw a bullet on the line. So I probably was more aligned with him. But for me, it was great. You know, the atmosphere was a bit up and down at times, a bit turbulent, but you'd expect that at any football club. I just think a lot of things were heightened because of the man that was at the helm. But for me, it was mustard, good as gold. I mean, I'd even go as far as, so he obviously moved to the area. He loved the cinema. He'd take his family to the cinema. I'd be in there with a girlfriend at the time, and he'd say, oh, do you want to come watch this flick? And I was a bit like, what? No, I'm right, gaffer type thing. I'll go and watch Step Up or whatever it was. But he was good as gold with me.
That's good to hear. Yeah. And I meant to show this picture earlier. This is when you were signed. I think this is when you got signed. This is like, you've got a match ball for some reason. You ain't got the shirt thing.
The Moody crucifix, rosary beads. Oh my
there
God.
There we go. There we go.
Good. Shall I tell you a funny story that day? So I had on a pair of jeans and white Air Force One trainers. And before I went to sign, I was at training ground. And he pulled me in to basically say, oh, congratulations, hard work starts now type thing. And the first thing he said when he looked at me, he looked at my trainers, he's gone, are those Nike Air Force Ones? And I've gone, yeah. And he's gone, yeah, Rio had them, I like them. And I thought, it's a bit mad. Like Roy Keane knows what Air Force Ones are. But yeah, and then I went to sign and took that Moody picture. But yeah, good times.
Yeah. Good. I don't know why.
Proud moment.
Yeah, I can imagine. Look, like you've got the Bulls been signed, so I think they just maybe they're trying to find a prop just for you to hold, maybe.
I certainly didn't score a hat-trick that day, but no, it was a good day, that. Really good day. Really good day.
Yeah, obviously, you know, as I said, it's a proud moment because, you know, you're signing your first professional contract as well. So that's for any footballer, that's a big moment.
Yeah, it was. It was. I mean, there's other things that come with it, you know, getting your own place and stuff like that and learning out what council tax is and all that stuff. But yeah, it was good times.
And then, of course, you do go and make your debut. Obviously, you had to wait until the end of the season. Obviously, it wasn't the best of results. I think they were 2-0 down at the time against Sheffield United at Portland Road. But I'm sure that's another moment to look back on, you know, professional debut.
Yeah, so, yeah, it came on 10 minutes, maybe. Might even give myself too much there. Came on for the last bit anyway. 3-0 down, but to be honest with you, like, the result was irrelevant. I'm on the pitch. It's a big moment for me. So that was a good moment. And then I went on to make my first start, ironically, at a club that I spent 4 years at, which was the following season, which was crazy.
Yeah, man. Yeah, and obviously next season, Roy's second full season in charge. Can you remember anything from what he said in terms of what he wanted from you going into that season?
There was a lot more involvement from pre-season. I thought, there could be an opportunity here. There was a lot of murmurs about Brucey leaving. And I kind of thought, hang on, Tom Eastman played last season, so why can't I play, type thing. So I knuckled down prior anyway, but I really honed in on setting some targets and trying to break through. I can't remember anything that he'd said to me. I remember we played a game, I think it was a Tottenham 11, where he heaped a lot, I think that was pre-season, where he heaped a lot of praise on me. And I thought, okay, I think I'm on the right side of him. So it's down to you to mess it up ultimately. And then from that point, that was a real big moment for me. I remember it was on the local, was it East Anglian Times? Is that the local?
Yeah. That's us.
Back page of that. And yeah. I was thinking, hang on, okay, we're getting somewhere here. And that was a big moment for me in terms of, I felt fully integrated, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And as you said, you started in that game against Exeter. We had to go to extra time to win that. And obviously, we'll talk about that journey in that competition because, of course, we got to the semi-finals that year, which was an unbelievable run. That must have been a great moment to, you know, make your debut your first start in that game. I think you had to come off in the end in that game and we could go on to win extra time. But, you know, to be in that starting 11 and going out, you know, in a professional game.
Yeah, so it's funny. So we flew there, big time Charlie's. We flew there, given the distance, and was in the game. And before the game, all he was on about was Ryan Harley. I know Ryan now because I played him. Ryan Arley, don't let him F this, F that. If he does this, he does that. Ryan, I think he scored 2, I think. And I'm like, oh, no. Everyone's just like, oh, no. And then it ends up going to extra time. 3-2, was it? We end up missing the plane back. So we had to drive from Exeter to Ipswich on a coach. And I remember being sat on the coach. I can't remember who I was talking to. Ice in my ankle because I rolled it. And I was saying, I can never play for a club down here. It's miles away from everywhere. Lo and behold, I spent 4 years there down the line. Yeah. So it's crazy. It's crazy. But no, it was a proud moment again for me. Got my little tanker still that says I made your debut. It's good.
Yeah, and as you said, you were playing rock back, you were centre back cover as well. Obviously, you know, we're getting some results here and there, but there were some bad performances as well. Actually, I think you're an unused. I've got a little here stat here. You're an unused stub in the snow game against Leicester. Can you remember that?
Yeah. I was talking about a good friend of mine now, Matt Oakley, who was playing for Leicester at the time, about that game. Don't know how it was on. Still to this day, it was on Sky, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. That's the reason why.
There you go. Money talks. Yeah. But it was a crazy game, that one. Crazy game. I remember a few of the games. Made my first start, Reading away at the Majeski. I think Swansea and Nottingham Forest at home, Keane's last game. were good games for me personally. Probably should have scored in both. Keepers pulled off worldies. But yeah, I remember quite a lot about the game. I've still got the DVDs. I remember they used to give you DVDs of the game. That's how long ago it was, but I've still got them. I haven't watched them back, but yeah, it was good times. And like you said, the cup run was brilliant. West Brom, stuff like that. So
yeah, got a picture of you in action against West Brom. Not the greatest facials here, sorry, Troy, but you know, you're a defender, so it doesn't really matter. But yeah, just you in action right here. And Portland Road, a 1-0 win. They're a Premier League team at the time as well, so not a nice opportunity to come up against, you know, a top flight side.
Yeah, just probably whipping one into the stands there. Yeah. but yeah, good times. I remember it was cold. I think it started to threaten to snow that game. Me and Tommy Smith were playing centre half. Tommy Smith, I get on board, sorry.
Yeah.
Still speak to Tommy now. But yeah, I remember that game well. That was, for me, that was like euphoria. Wow, we just beat a Premier League team. We're into the semis of the cup. This is amazing type thing. So yeah, good times.
Yeah. And then you actually start in Roy Keane's final game. Got a picture of you just in action. There you are. Against Forest. And obviously that was a game where the atmosphere wasn't great. We lost 1-0. I think Damien Daly scored an own goal. That was the only goal of the game. So it's sort of like, oh no. And then obviously Roy gets sacked. Can you remember that day?
Very, very well. So he was really charged and pumped up for that game, the gaffer. And before we'd even gone out in the team meeting, he'd honed in on Nathan Tyson. I'll never forget this. He'd honed on Nathan Tyson playing left wing. I'm starting right back. And he basically said, he's rapid. If he runs past you, you're coming off. Literally. I was like, right, wicked sound. What happens? First minute, he's bombed it past me. And I see Jamie Peters warming up. I'm like, oh no, this guy's not joking. But luckily I stayed on. I played the first 45 at right back, played the second 45 at centre half. I actually thought I played really well. Probably one of my better games in an Ipswich shirt. And but Damo had had a bust head, and I remember this round his head, and no surprise, he scored an own goal. I probably couldn't see. And it, like, I remember it from the left, cross from the left, kind of got his feet modelled up, and then it trickled in, painfully trickled in. And then that was Keane's last game, which was a sad note for me, because like I say, he was brilliant with me.
Yeah, and obviously another media circus, obviously, when, you know, any manager gets sacked, but obviously it's Roy Keane now getting sacked. And I'm sure, you know, as players, you're thinking, okay, now I've got another manager now to impress to stay on. And obviously at that point, we were in the semi-finals of the League Cup, obviously the FA Cup. Obviously not a great game, the Chelsea game. Yeah. For you and just everyone involved, I'm sure you're like, God, come on, please don't let us not talk about this. But
no, you know, mate, I'll talk about it. I'll talk about it. I'm blue in the face. It was. Do you know what? The moment Keane got sacked, it kind of went a bit for me, Ipswich, because we had that semi-final game, and we were playing Arsenal at home, and we were in on the morning doing set pieces, and I was involved playing against my team. Bang, hamstring goes. Brilliant. I remember crying in the physio room like a baby. So then we obviously won that game at home. Amazing. 1-0?
1-0, yeah. Prisco.
Yeah, and then was it 3-0 away?
Yeah, 3-0, yeah.
Yeah. So had that, and then the Chelsea game came up. And it was Ian McPartlin and Christy Kwamia taking the team. And we were depleted as well with injuries. And they put out their probably second string team, but it was still brilliant. And it was an onslaught from start to finish, really. But I remember clearing one off the line from an Elka. I remember that. And then, yeah, the rest was a blur, to be honest. Sturridge was doing his samba dance thing. It was just all going off. But again, another proud moment for me, playing in front of 40,000 fans or whatever it was, 38, I can't remember. But I had a lot of people there. But yeah, it wasn't the ideal result, mate, at all.
No, I've got a picture. I think this is actually Daniel Sturridge scoring. I was like, do I show it? But yeah, they're trying to defend. But they still had a good team out there. Like Frank Lampard played and everything.
Get
like.
On those shorts.
Oh, let's go back.
Should have sized up. Daniel Day, I was on the phone to Daniel Day yesterday. He's working at Celtic.
So
Sparky in the background, new Sunderland manager. Spoke to him last week. So, yeah, it's good faces. Good old faces.
Yeah, obviously not a greatest result in the world, but you sort of move on. And, yeah, we had that, you know, the Arsenal games, which were, you know, incredible. And obviously Paul Jewell then gets appointed. He actually, I think, takes charge of the Millwall game in between that and obviously took charge at the Emirates game as well. But, yeah, can you remember the conversations with him? Obviously, now you've got
not
to
many,
impress
to
your manager.
Yeah. Not many, to be honest. He came in with Chris Hutchins. He brought in Jimmy, who I knew from Fulham. One of the first things he did was bring in Jimmy. Good crack. And yeah, not many conversations really. It was him, Chris Hutchins. Am I leaving anyone out on coaching staff?
Brian still in there? Brian Klug? I don't know.
Oh, yeah, Klug. Yeah, Brian. Yeah, no. But in terms of first team side of things, not too much dialogue. As I'm thinking now, I'm remembering Carlos said was Jason Scott. I'm really close to them. Sorry. Still speak to him now. But not many conversations to make to most. What I did see was a lot of experience being played, not so many youngsters, and kind of being pushed to the side, which I understand. You're trying to put your stamp on things. I wasn't in as many squads. I think I played against Swansea again at home. And did I come on against Leeds?
And that was I've got the games up here. So, yes, Swansea.
Late on.
Preston
away,
Yeah. That was your last game, actually. No, it was Preston at home, actually. But you played Preston both times. But your last game for the club was a start against Preston. You got yellow card in the first minute. So, yeah, I don't know. Straight in there, making sure your striker.
Did I not come on against Leeds?
Let me just double check. Double check here.
There's a reason why, because
take it slow.
I think I had minimal involvement under Jewell anyway, which probably.
I think you came on against Leeds under Roy Keane though. That was back in October.
Oh, sorry, Mum. At Portman Road.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's all a blur. Sorry, yeah. So I had two appearances under Jewell, and minimal involvement in the squad. I think.
Your unused sub in the 5-1 defeat against Norwich. Well, we won't talk about that because that was dreadful.
Well, it's 5-1 both ways, wasn't it? Carrow Road and
4-1. I think you came off the bench in the Carrow Road game.
I did, and then
it was a 9-2 on aggregate. So, yeah, they were not good games for Town fans because obviously you don't want to lose heavily against.
Hey, look at it now. Who's had the last laugh? Who's had the last?
True that. Very
but I had minimal involvement under Jewell, and there was talks. So this is how my exit kind of came about, I suppose. Under Keane, there was talks of a new deal, which was here, let's say. And then Jewell, there was a meeting probably the last week of the season, basically saying you extra year on the same money. It's not all about money, but there's a difference. You're going to go out on loan. Game's all about, blah, 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 which I needed. But in essence, there's not much security there. There's not much, not investment financially, but in terms of like being behind me type thing. So I kind of weighed things up, and there was obviously conversations going on elsewhere and other clubs. And, I played 18, 19 times for the club or whatever. Starts coming off the bench, and there was a bit of interest here or there, and I ended up like rejecting what Jewell had offered me, like the proposal, and going out and seeing what else was out there.
Because I think like a 1 year deal in football, it's not really good security, is it? For your long, because if you get injured, you're pretty much.
I get it if I was 32 and I'm coming towards the end, but I'm meant to be like a young. Listen, a young player coming through that, has played a few times and, you kind of back and believe in, but I didn't really feel that. And the line, you're going to go out anyway and you're not going to play my first team. Brilliant. Which ironically, as time went on, I think they were depleted at the start of the season with defenders and I probably would have done. But I went on to Rotherham. I got sold a bit of a dream at Rotherham, which, to be honest, in the club and the hierarchy, it actually came to fruition. New stadium, promotions. It did happen, but I ended up playing six times in 6 months, and probably underestimated the move in terms of distance, because I can live anywhere. You put me in Tanzania, I'll be all right in a box, I'm fine. But it was more the level. It's a different sport. It's a different sport. League two to championship, in terms of physicality, in terms of rhythm, in terms of flow, it's a different sport. And that took some time getting adjusted to, but you know, I ended up not playing enough in the first 6 months, which killed me, to be honest. And I kept always thinking, hindsight's one thing, what if I'd stayed? And yeah.
Is that, I know you were saying off air, you know, was there any regrets of maybe not staying at Twitch? You know, obviously, I know you're
yeah, my advice now deal. To players is, if you know, if it's feasible, which it probably was at the time, and both decisions would have, you know, taken me backing myself in one way, shape or form, backing myself to leave and go out and get myself back to the championship, which was the aim, or stay in and get in that first team. Every decision is a risk in football, whether you stick or twist. But I always advise players now, if it's feasible, to stay as high as they can for as long as they can. Because I don't want to sound too disrespectful, because I played the majority of my career there, but the drop-off is quite big from the championship to League Two, that is. In between, not so much, but it's a different sport. And as a young player, it takes a lot of adjusting. It takes a lot of time to get used to.
Yeah, and obviously, one thing you actually got to give credit to Roy about, your gaffer, he did use a lot of young players. You know, there's a lot of young players who came through. As you mentioned, Tommy Smith, Luke Heim as well, played a lot of games under him. So, you know, Paul Jewell went a different route. He brought in a lot of loan players. We had so many loan players. Like, that's one thing I think Town fans couldn't really connect to those loan players, because they're not really playing for the club. They're just here for a little bit and then they'll go off. But like players like you, you know, we're excited because it's a young player coming through the ranks. I think I said I was reading a story when you left the club, and a lot of fans were a little disappointed that you left. And that's just football, isn't it? And sadly, players go and come and go and stuff like that.
Yeah, it happens. But you know, listen, I've still got friends there, and you know, even certain personnel that are still working at the club. And it's always a club that I look out for their results, and obviously recent results have been amazing.
Definitely, mate. Yeah, and I've actually got a picture of you, and this is actually playing for Wales, because obviously you went on to play for Wales at youth level, you know, up to under 21. So just a picture of you playing for Wales. I'm sure that was a proud moment. You said you sort of lived in Wales for a bit. I'm sure, you know, opportunity to play for, you know, countries, or you know, what you want to do.
Yeah, it's proud. I consider myself as Welsh. I mean, I spent every summer holidays back there at my nan's. My mum's obviously full Welsh. My mum lives back there now. I always look out for their results. Unfortunately, not the Euros this summer, but they have. But yeah, it was proud for me. Great experiences. I mean, good stuff. Really had some good moments. Played with some good players. Played against some good players. It's good. I'd encourage anyone that, you know, qualifies, again, young players now that qualify for other nations to consider it.
Definitely. Yeah. Obviously, we've got that Welsh connection. We've got a lot of Town fans in Wales. Obviously, now with three current players, or two current players, one who was Kiefer Moore, who's gone back to Bournemouth, but Wes Burns and Nathan Broadhead, they've got the Welsh connections there. So we always support them as best as we can. But you leave Troy. As you said, you go to Rotherham, have a spell at Aldershot, then go to Cheltenham Town as well. I think you played with Matt Richards, who's another former Town player.
So Matt, I knew we were very close to Cheltenham because we had the affiliation with Ipswich. So as I was coming in, he was coming out with the likes of Billy Clark and stuff like that. But had a couple of years there. It was really turbulent until I got to Exeter, where there was stability under Paul Tisdale, a man that had been there for years. It's a very, you know, family oriented club. I mean, Aldershot, I went on loan, had a great spell. I think we were 21st, we finished 8th, just outside the playoffs. And then probably was comfortable, got offered a decent deal, which nobody should have been on those kind of deals. Not that I was on mega money, but it was other players probably being paid too much as well for what they were earning. And then ultimately end up in administration. And then went to Cheltenham. They'd finished in the playoff final the year before. Get there, they've cut the budget. I end up playing with four different managers, 49 different players. And now at this point, I'm thinking, oh my God, what was happening here type thing. And then I get to Exeter. And again, a club that I said that I would never ever you know, play for a club this far away, not so much them personally. I spent 4 years there and met some amazing people, still friends now, going to a wedding this weekend of an ex-teammate. Yeah, look after one of my ex-teammates now from there. It's just, yeah, it's just like 4 years, great years, brilliant.
Yeah, no, unfortunately too, back-to-back playoff final defeats at Wembley. Yeah. I'm sure that's another thing to tick on your career though, playing at Wembley. But yeah, two defeats, unfortunately.
Yeah, so the first one is really sore note because I actually picked up what probably ended my career in terms of my knee. I actually picked up a medial injury in the 60-odd minute or whatever, and then had to come off. And then the following, I just kept plaguing me. And then the following season, end up missing a section again, which was the playoff final. But yeah, it's painful. I couldn't even look at Wembley for a bit after that. So anytime I see someone losing at Wembley now, I have some remorse for them, definitely.
And I've got a picture of you scoring against Ipswich in the League Cup. There you go.
The Barnet's changed, isn't it? There's no barbers down in Devon, mate.
Yeah, I can imagine. There's actually, here you go now, a more close-up picture. You're in action with Caden Jackson. Yeah. But yeah, you won that game. Paul Hurst was in charge then for Ipswich Town. This is when a very different transitional period. And obviously, you guys go on and win on penalties. You score the one of the goals for Exeter to make it to go 1-1, then obviously penalties. But that must have been a weird moment playing against Ipswich. Was that the first time you played against us since you leaving?
Yeah, I was really buzzing for it as well. Not for any other reason than it's just Ipswich. But yeah, it was the easiest goal I ever scored. I was actually on the goal line and just flipped the bar now, I think. But no, it was, again, another good evening. I think that was my second to last game before I went under surgery. So I probably held on just to play that and then thought, nah, I've got to get this knee sorted. So yeah.
And as you mentioned, you're happy to play anywhere, move anywhere. Obviously, you then go to Dundee in Scottish Championship.
Yeah.
Was that just an opportunity you thought?
Great club, just the wrong time for me in terms of where my body was at and probably where my head was at that point. Like I said, I was 100% there, but I was only able to give 30% because I'll just break down. So Robbie Nielsen, the manager, had tried to sign me a few times, and I think in that week I said no four times, and on the fifth time I thought, no, I'm going. And the idea was to get fit and come back down south. He understood that, I understood that. I was going in as, you know, someone got injured, I was going in as cover, but I had no pre-season. I was in there I think a week, and then I'm starting. I played six games and broke down. But the sixth game was a pattern. So that was happening at Exeter with the knee before I had the surgery. I played six games, broke down. And then I'd had my surgery. I'd been out for 8 months at Exeter, seven, 8 months at Exeter. Came back in the Easter period, played seven games in 4 weeks, and then ripped my groin off my bone. So it was just a chain of events. And Dundee United, great club. Like, again, any players, especially with certain attributes like athleticism, I think we do really well in Scotland. And, you know, you're getting 12,000 fans. It's a fishbowl. Dundee's across the road. The Derby's amazing. But it's a great club, great facilities. Just the wrong time for me. Again, met some great people. Look after one of my old teammates there now. Is at Celtic now. But, yeah, just the wrong time for me personally. But great club, great club. And then come back down south from there. You've got a few blemishes and surrounding injuries and stuff like that. And again, it's not about the money, but it gets to a stage where you get offered X or Y to go and play wherever. I won't name the clubs, but quite a long way away from where I'm from. You're effectively paying to play, if that makes sense. And yeah, just thought, no, I think that's my time. I ended up playing a game for an ex-teammate who's the Chelmsford manager. I played a couple of games for him, actually. Robbie Simpson at Chelmsford. But then again, I've been in full-time football the whole time. Kudos to the lads that are in part-time football, go to work, train, play. I just wasn't wired up for that. and ultimately made the decision to stop playing completely.
Yeah, it's always interesting to know about, because you see a lot of players, you know, certainly have to just, you know, retire sort of under a cloud. And, you know, yeah, you retired at 30, unfortunately. But, you know, it is a lonely place, you know, recovery and, you know, rehabbing and stuff.
Yeah,
and,
it's tough. Yeah. It's tough, mate. Like, it's tough. And you get to the point where, again, I'm the pandemic's happened now. I literally retired just before the pandemic, and the pandemic's happening. I half thought, you know what, maybe I've made a good decision to get, I couldn't play in front of no crowds, or, you know, they're cutting contracts and stuff like that, and curtailing leagues and stuff like that. So, you know, in a sense, I was like, okay, onto pastures new, let's go type thing. But then the pandemic happens and everything shut down, and fortunately football carried on in the background. But yeah, it was a strange time, should we say. Not your normal, you know, finishing from football, you know, statements and test, none of that. Just, right, what are we on to?
Did you have anything in mind? Obviously, you know, you've had these injuries, yeah.
Yeah, so what I'm doing now, I'd always had in mind, and that was representing players. But I actually studied whilst I played. So when I was at Exeter, I did a building surveying degree. So I'm a qualified building surveyor. So what I wanted to do was probably a bit of both. You can't. It's representations. It's a full-time job. You could be anywhere at any time, phone on, phone off, whatever. So that's where the pandemic was a bit of a blessing, because, you know, I'm thinking, right, I'm going to do some builders, I'm going to do some representation, balance it. But because the pandemic happened, offices, sites were closed down, but football carried on. So I just jumped in headfirst into the representation side, which was difficult because I'm finishing football where everything's done for you. I'm having to diarise stuff, the Zooms. I'm like, oh my God, you can't get a read of anyone or anything. You can't get in front of anyone, get to games. It was a bit of a nightmare the first 6 months, in all honesty. But once things opened out, your zone one, zone two, zone three, whatever it bloody was, it got a lot easier. And it's not easy, but it got better for me personally. But I still have in mind of doing some builders event at some point, but yeah, not just yet.
Yeah, so you've been doing it for 4 years now. You know, I'm sure you had ups and downs with it. You know, what's the insight you can give us, you know, from your point of view? You know, I'm sure you've gone to a lot of games, you've spoken to a lot of players, managers and, you know, chief executives and all that.
Yeah, I just think that anyone that asks what it's like and what, you know, is it difficult? Isn't it? It's difficult. Listen, football from top to bottom is a cutthroat industry. And I think the game's changed a lot from when, listen, I'm not very old, I like to think, but it's changed a lot from even my time in the game. So you always have to be adaptable. And every case is different. Every player is different. Every relationship's different. Every dynamic's different. You know, some players might not want to hear from you until it's deal time. Some players might want to hear from you every week. I have a player that calls me every Monday, calls three. So everyone's different. But I think the main thing is character for me, in terms of my own character and, you know, my network's character and players that I try and work with's character is massive. I think character will get players a long, long way in the game, not just talent. Always sticks to me that Fulham in the classroom, there was a sign up with a slogan that said, talent is no substitute for hard work. That's always stuck with me. And I kind of carried that throughout my career and even into what I'm doing now. In a sense that, you know, players that you want to work for, because you work for the players, they don't work for you. You just got to make sure that they understand what it takes to get to a level, but also to stay at that level. The hardest part is, it's actually, especially nowadays, and I don't mean this in a disrespectful way, it's quite easy to call yourself a professional footballer because professional contracts are a lot more common now because, you know, clubs are trying to protect their assets. But squads are getting bigger. But the hardest part is staying there. Back in the day, it was an absolute champagne euphoria if you got a professional contract. Now it's like, okay, matey signs his pro, he signs his pro, and it's like conveyor belt pro contracts. But the hardest part is staying in the game and understanding, you know, what it takes to be a professional footballer. And that's where I, you know, still relatively young, especially younger players. Listen, older players, it's like trying to tell a duck how to suck eggs. It doesn't make sense, but with the younger players, I just try and you know, pass on knowledge, because I've literally been through pretty much every single experience there is in football. I've had relegation embarrassingly on my CV, promotions, injuries, suspensions, administrations, clubs folding beneath you and bury. I've had pretty much everything there is, being released, being signed, moving away from home. So I just try and pass that bit of knowledge on. And but it's always the player, mate. Like, it's 99% of the player, what they do day in, day out, on and off the field. And then that 1%, your family, your friends, your girlfriend, your dog, whatever it is, your agent. If you get that right, you've got a chance. But yeah.
That's good, man. That's great insight. And obviously, it's a busy period for you now, as the, you know, transfer window is going to be opening soon. I'm sure there's a lot of players out of contract. That's another thing as well. Always, you know, be careful of as well. You know, players out of contract, because obviously some players may not get another contract. Sadly,
it's the hardest part of staying in the game. Yeah. And you know, there's clubs now that, you know, they've got a list as long as the room you're sat in of players that are out of contract in various positions at various ages. And I worry for players that are, you know, what was deemed as in their prime when I was playing, which was 27, 28, 29, that's now deemed old. Clubs are looking for assets, someone they can flip or sell on, or that holds a value. Whereas back in our day, it was, no, we want someone of experience, a la Paul Jules conversation. So you have to be adaptable. The game's always moving on. But yeah, it's. I think this summer, I haven't got a crystal ball, but I think there'll be like two windows, from a sense that pre the Euros and then after the Euros. But it's always money spent at the top that trickles down, and then yeah, I think it will be a busy summer for everyone involved in football.
Definitely, and obviously your old club, Ipswich Town, back in the Premier League, my friend. I'm sure Amazing. That was a good thing. You know, ex-players, I'm sure they were looking. Oh, great to see him back.
Amazing. Yeah, I mean, it's. I kind of backed them because I think that what they were up against, and obviously two other teams have been promoted, but what they were up against, despite everyone thinking on paper their squad wasn't as good as the other ones, was strong. I just think they were very well coached, clearly, but also the squad's more accustomed to the relentlessness of the EFL. 46 games, whereas you might look at, you know, the other clubs, won't name them, but they're, it's quite obvious, but they might not have been, because, you know, they come from top flight teams in Europe or the Premier League. They used to have 38 games or 36 games, whereas the Championship's relentless. And they'd have a lot of international players playing, that are playing throughout the season, so it's a lot of games. And I think Leicester had a very, very good start, and then almost kind of stumbled over the line at one stage. And then obviously you've got Leeds and Southampton who fought it out in the playoff final. But Ipswich kind of just... I knew Ipswich were right, that Bristol City game on TV. I knew it. I thought, yeah, they're good as gold. They're up there. So hard-working, well-coached, sprinkled with talent. It's gone down well last season anyway. Really entertaining to watch.
And of course, luckily, Kieran McKenna has stayed on. And yeah, we're going to be playing top flight football for the first time in 20 years. Do you get yourself down at Port Road often? Because with the agency, or is it obviously you're everywhere?
I'll be honest with you, Port Road, I didn't come last season. I watched Ipswich away a lot, weirdly. I'm sorry, I watched the Leeds game. but it doesn't matter. But yeah, I watched it. I think the last time I came was in League One, playing against Lincoln. Random. But even then, I go in the lounge bit and downstairs, I can't remember the name of it. First person I see is the dinner lady, who's the same dinner lady that I had, that is there working. That's that type of club where people still speak Simon Milton, still speak Chris Kwamia, despite him being away, but very much affiliated. I still speak to the same people. Brian, I could pick up the phone to. So, yeah, it's it was quite surreal seeing Sunila, the dinner lady, funny lady. She used to give me my plates of food after lunch, and I used to take it home and I have to cook. I'd say everything done for you. But yeah, I will get down there 100% this season. Not that I'm being glory on it, because it's Premier League, but I will. Good era, man.
But it's been a pleasure, Troy. Any other business? Any other notes? Any other messages to Town fans? Yeah, it's been great to have you on.
Enjoy the Premier League after 20 years. It's amazing. It's quite surreal, but enjoy it. I'm sure they will. Saw the celebrations, which was great. But enjoy it. It's amazing. It's amazing. And all the best. Don't be Arsenal home or away.
Yeah, true that. True. That's fine. We'll beat the other ones. And
I think that'd be a really good game of football.
Yeah.
But thinking now, in hindsight, I think that'd be a really good game of football. Like, intensity would be really good.
Yeah, bring it on, Troy. Can't wait for it. But no, thanks again.
No problem, mate. Top man, thanks for your time.